Number two, Jeff Cameron Show. Good Monday, everybody. Good to be here. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. There's Director Matthew on Twitter. It's at Jay Cameron Show, if you're wondering. And, of course, if you're in and out during the show, if you're listening on 93.3 Real Talk Radio, or even if you're just there in the chat watching on War Chant TV, remember, you can always go back, catch up at your leisure there. We're a podcast as well. Anywhere you get podcasts, it's on YouTube, it's on War Chant TV, it's on the radio. It's across the board. It's a multimedia extravaganza. So you can always find the show if you miss portions of it. And I like for you to do that. I like for you guys to do that and to like it and to pass it on and to celebrate and to tell people and to do all the things. That'd be good. That'd be good. Tom and I were talking a lot about the upcoming spring game. There's a lot at hand here. We've got an event on Friday. A couple things going on Friday to point to. We will be at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill. That's Appalachie Parkway. That is at 5 o'clock. A little happy hour for those rolling into town. It'll be a pleasure to see you guys again. I remember last year was delightful. A lot of folks came over to the CP, introduced themselves to members of the War Chant staff, myself included, and that was fun to hear their story and their background, and also to talk about how excited we all were to watch that Florida State team. Of course, we didn't know at the time they were going to go 13-0, but we had a sense they'd be good, and I got a sense yet again this year that they're going to be good, and so the enthusiasm remains high. That'll be 5 o'clock again at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill, little happy hour meet and greet, hang out, take your time, and then, by the way, take it on down the road over to the Battle's End event, which is Mike Norvell addressing the masses that show up for the event at the Moon. That is the same day, April the 19th, and it's from 5 to 7:30. Proceeds benefit the Battle's End. It's only $40 for those general admission tickets. You can get VIP sponsorships that are available. In fact, I know JB did just that. James B. did just that. And we saw each other at the golfing on Friday at the Jeff Cameron Show Invitational, War Chant Invitational for Second Harvest of the Big Ben. We were laughing about that. But look, again, the silent auction, they're going to have that. It will be an opportunity to bid on exclusive autographed memorabilia. And, you know, pretty cool because you go out there and you see some really unique stuff and you get a chance to talk with players and you get a chance to bid on cool items. And you know that this is money being raised for something that directly benefits Florida State football big time, big time. So you can do both, guys. You can say, hey, stop by the CP to have a beer, say hello, make your way on over to the State of the Knolls, Mike Norvell, live address at the Moon, 5 to 7:30. There'll be a lot of other stuff there, too. I think they've got players of yesteryear, players of now. By the way, Big Meech stopped by the golf tournament on Friday. It was great to see him. He even got involved, came by. Was that number 6 we were putting with him on, Tom? I believe it is. And had another hole-in-one this year at the JCS Invitational. How about that? Back-to-back years, somebody has hit their first hole-in-one at our golf tournament, Tommy. That's cool. I would say that we just put on spectacular events.
Well, that we do. Fireworks left and right at these events. There's even a station that people were raving about again this year, second year in a row, of pimento cheese sandwiches on the drivable 13th hole. That's nicely done by your tournament director because the longest wait is on a drivable par 4 or a reachable par 5. So when you're going to wait, why not have some sandwiches and master sandwiches at that? So a lot of good things that were out there last Friday. And congratulations to Daryl, who hit his hole in one and did the right thing by getting some beverages for some people at the CP.
It should also be noted that on that par drivable par 4, one of the members of a team did drive the drivable par 4 at number 13.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Of our team, the person who hit the most great, quote-unquote, shots, high-quality shots, is on the left side of this screen right now if you're watching on War Chant TV. That would be you.
Hit some shots on Friday, guys. I'm not going to lie to you. Hit some shots in there. A little bit of everything, really. The whole arsenal was on display. You had, there were a few draws in there, a few little buttery cut fades in there, had the tank drives of the day. A lot of things going on with this guy's game right now.
That is correct. I think my drive on 14 might have been one of the tank drives of the day.
It's not to say that nobody else had one, Yeah, sure, certainly. Yeah, it was a very impressive drive.
The draw on 10 down the hill, that was the most pretty looking shot of the day from you.
Well, it was fun is what it was. We had a good time. It was, and I did play pretty well, which is always nice. That's not always the case, by the way, but yeah. That was good. And moreover, I think everybody had fun. Everybody I ran into did. And we want to thank the fine folks, not only of the Second Harvest of the Big Ben, which we'll be putting on a show Thursday for them. Hopefully you guys feel as, I don't know, interested, engaged, excited as you were a year ago. That blew me away. Those shows that we do, we were able to raise money because of what YouTube allows now that they didn't used to, where you guys can go in and directly donate to the charitable cause and not have to worry about YouTube taking it, and we're not going to take it. It all 100% goes to the benefactor, like we did a year ago where we raised a lot of money. We'll be doing it again this Thursday. And so that kind of combines as a nice 1-2 punch for our ability to try to continue to do good things in the community. And that's what we should do. I mean, we got a medium, we got a forum to do it, and a lot of people want to. So we're going to provide that opportunity again on Thursday. So doff the cap to everybody. Tom, you did a great job as always, buddy. All right, so back to the items at hand. Obviously, we did document that baseball team's ass-kicking of its arch rivals in what was a perfect week. You cannot – I don't know that as long as I live from this point forward, barring this team steamrolling everybody on their way to a national championship out in Omaha, I don't know that you're going to get a better week's worth of games. Just a singular week? Like, that was insane what Florida State baseball just did, and absolutely bending Florida over in a way that was uncomfortable for people to have to watch 19-4 in a game that was never competitive after the first, and then turning around shorthanded in a shortened week for TV purposes, having the game moved up and turn around and beat Miami's ass in 3 straight. You're just not going to beat that. That's tough to beat. Like, even winning the conference isn't going to beat that. This was just get you some bums.
That would be also why I think Link Jarrett and the staff are very pleased because of the nature of the short week.
Sure.
You're coming off of a 5-game week of college baseball, not routine. You got your bumps and your bruises in the rotation. You got a Tuesday, and then, which Link Jarrett pointed out, Thursday, because television wants it, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, he was a little angry there.
I don't know that he said it quite like I did, but you could tell he was not pleased that we're moving this thing a day up. To be able to weather all of that after, so you're playing 9 games in a short period of time when you don't have a couple of arms that you're looking to for 5 and 6 innings.
Two really important arms, yes.
Huge innings. To be able to navigate that, exhale, and then regroup for 2 tough weekend series against Wake Forest and Duke. I mean, you could extend it out and just say North Carolina State the next weekend is going to be very important as well. But when you're talking about differentiating yourself amongst the top 16 or the top 8 for a national seed, these upcoming weekend series are critical so that you are able to navigate that, the emotions of the rivalry. And I love this about this team. With all the new players here at Florida State, you can tell the rivalry games still matter a whole bunch to this dugout, which is great that they've embraced that already. Okay, now let's come down from whatever that was, which was awesome, and let's focus and let's get to winning some weekend series here so that we can be on the inside track for hosting as long as we're playing before Omaha. And I think that's where they want to be, and that's where they could very well be a month from now.
You know, one thing that stands out to me, if you are trying to peer into the future, and again, last hour I kind of made the case not to do that, not to step out of the moment and get caught up in what's possible. It is almost impossible. There's always something coming or going, as I say a lot on the show. And so being present is difficult. When you're good, it's really hard to stay grounded because it's not the arrogance of that. It's the what's possible. Like, golly, they're talented. They're good. In fact, Link Jarrett said that. I think his quote, I pulled it over here. I put it up in my notes for the show. Yeah, it starts with talented players. If you're really talented, it gives you a better chance to walk out there and have success. If you're focused, that adds to it. Regardless of how good it's going or how bad it's going, you have to play the games on both ends of that spectrum. We have a talented group, and we have a focused group. I think just the conveyor belt of that coming at you produces what appears to be some magical potion sometimes. It's just their dedication, their physical talent, and their focus that gives you repetitive chances to do something, whether you're up, down, or tied. They're just able to do it because they're good players that are focused and they stick with it. That is one of my favorite quotes of the year. That is a fantastic quote on so many levels. And it's direct, it's precise, and it's 100% accurate. It is a wave of talent that is locked in that at some point wears people down. They give themselves opportunity after opportunity after opportunity because they have good at-bats. And there's no glaring flaw within the lineup. College baseball in particular, and it's always been this way, but it's true right now throughout the country if you look at overall numbers. College baseball is about offense. You've got to be able to put up runs because the defense is never going to be as good as it is in the majors. And there isn't elite bullpen after elite bullpen that you're going to face. There might be a squad that has 2 to 3 good starting pitchers who are destined to go to the majors, but very few teams have an overabundance of arms that can shut down balanced, thorough, deep offensive lineups like Florida State. So they come at you in waves. They work walks. They work at bats. They foul balls off. And eventually you make a mistake. And there are a lot of guys on this team, not just Smith and Tibbs, that if you make that mistake, it's going to leave the yard. It's going to be hit hard somewhere. And a game that was just 2-2 or 1-0 or 3-0 in your favor is now tied. And just like that, the onslaught is on. And that gives me a lot of reasons to be excited about those games in the future that I'm trying to ignore and be present, because I don't know that that's going to change. Now, you're going to run into an arm at some point that is painting the black. You're going to run into an arm on a given day, and you just hope it's not on a very important day, that is able to take control of a game, because starting pitching can do that. That's how bad teams beat good teams. It happens all the time at every level of baseball. So in Major League Baseball, as I've noted, the worst team in the league can beat the best team in the league and does frequently on any given night in Major League Baseball because somebody's painting and they go out and have a day. They're pros or they're elite on that day. They've got full command of their entire arsenal. And the next thing you know, you're 7 innings in and you're down 4-0. And there's some deficit you don't come back from. It happens. But most of the time, if what you're doing is presenting the opportunity to the next guy and you're passing it off in a lineup full of talented players and you're putting the ball in play and you're not, it's not a strikeout festival every night, you're able to get good at bat after good at bat, you wear, especially in college, you wear teams down. And this team will do that for themselves. They don't seem to fret in the moment. There haven't been too many days where you think they're rattled or that the moment was too big for them. There's been one series all year in which that was the case. And as we've described, the circumstances in that situation were utterly insane. Nobody's baseball ops runs a weekend series the way that Clemson's backwoods sorry-ass folks do. So other than that one outlier, everything else has been absolutely Florida State finding ways to respond to adversity and put pressure on opposing teams inning after inning after inning. And for the most part, C30-5, they've come out on the right end.
Well, what did that bullpen do right after? You know, so it's also your confidence could be totally shaken. And then you have a bullpen game against Florida on Tuesday. Tough travel because you're getting home from Clemson late. And then you're turning around going to Jacksonville and they're awesome. And they continue to be awesome after that. I just like this group's ability as well as a lineup. It seems like they have a scout and they stick to the scout. So, for example, Thursday night's game against Miami, they're swinging early in counts. So it must be that the scout is for that pitcher. Hey, don't sit back and wait.
He throws first pitch strikes.
He's a good player. He's a good pitcher. I think that might be something that we see moving forward here as we play more good opponents with aces, real aces on a Friday night, that you might see the bats active. Like, for example, Thursday night, the first 5 outs that Miami recorded took 10 pitches, and then they had a 4th inning that took 4 pitches. We were swinging the bats, and I think we adapt to whatever it is the scout might say or what feedback they're getting in the moment that day. I like adaptability instead of being something that's cookie cutter throughout. You know what they're going to be game in and game out because you can game plan against a predictable opponent. Doesn't mean you're going to beat him, but you can game plan against them. I think we're varied enough at the plate. We have good at-bats that we work, 6 and 7 and 8 pitches, And then sometimes we're just going to ambush you. I do enjoy the variety of that.
Just like I enjoy the variety of Zaxby's, which, oh, by the way, you can find at 106 locations in Tallahassee, Florida. My goodness, those of you lucky enough to live and work in Tallahassee, you're not going to miss the opportunity to swing by your neighborhood Zaxby's and cash in the chips on the variety that you got from Zaxby's. It's delicious, all of it, and you can do so today. And I would suggest it. Mondays can be hectic. It's tough to kind of ease your way back in the week. Nobody wants the fuss of cooking. You know what? You're thinking about getting off of work right now while you listen to the Jeff Cameron Show. You're reminded of how entertaining I am. And then you say, you know what? In addition to that, I'm going to get me some good food. This is going to be a good stretch of several hours that we're putting together on a Monday. Putting it all together before I go to bed tonight early. Go to bed early tonight, guys. It's Monday. There's no reason to stay up unless you're watching a team like the Pirates who are in first place. But other than that, you just, you know, you find reasons to get plenty of rest and load up for the big weekend at hand. That's what I would do if I were you, and I would start. Well, you started by listening to this show. But then secondarily, I'd go over to Zaxby's and support Danny and Zaxby's, who've been a Golden Chief booster for over 19 years. Doing some things, as I like to say. Doing some things. It's going to be delicious. It's going to be a good time.
One of the better smells in the world. We talk about that fresh-cut grass.
That is the best smell in the world.
Then there's the sound of baseball cleats, specifically on gravel as you're walking into a field. Yeah. That's a great sound. One of the better smells is so you have the individually wrapped chicken sandwich within the bag. When you open up that individually wrapped chicken sandwich from Zaxby's and you just catch that little breath, oh, buddy, that's like, oh, I have made the right decision. And you will have too if you go to Zaxby's.
You got NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, got the spring game, you've got Major League Baseball. You got a lot. This is good. This will get us through. This will get us through until I bring the family up to New York to see you and hang out and go to baseball games and walk around Manhattan and have a good time. Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV. Hey, guys and gals. Thanks for listening to the pod. You've heard me talk about Factor, and I absolutely think it's the perfect solution. Less stress in your life this spring. Let Factor cook up a solution with delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-created, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in 2 minutes. Get a weekly menu, about 35 different options. I've tried them all. They're all delicious. We get them at the Cameron family, and we love it. I switch it up every week, discover more than 60 add-ons as well, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch, snacks, beverages to help you stay fueled all day long. You get these prepared meals in just 2 minutes to heat up, and they're perfect. You're out the door. And you can get no-fuss meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle, prepping, cooking, cleaning up, all that stuff. Plus, they've got gourmet stuff in there, broccolini, truffle butter, asparagus, shrimp, filet mignon. Factor's the solution for fast, premium meals without the need to cook. I think it's a perfect solution. That's why we love it. Celebrating Earth Day all month long, look out for Earth Mother Eats badge on the menu for the lowest carbon footprint meals too. If that's your thing, head to factormeals.com/Cameron50. Use the code Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Cameron50 at factormeals.com/Cameron50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Check out warchant.com today for the latest news inside Florida State Athletics. That's warchant.com. Now, back to Jeff on Real Talk 93.3.
Big Daddy Jay does have some NBA playoff opportunities to wager on. I'm in a head-to-head wager with my son. I took the Dallas Mavericks to knock off the Clippers. We were kind of going back and forth just talking about all these different matchups at some point down the line. I'll get to all of that. Tom says he's stepping in with some big-time hockey wagers today. We've got chances at some Red Russians. Is that right? Is that what we got going on here at the end of the show today? Before there, probables?
Yes. I've got one that I think is a reasonable play, and then I've got what I like to call the gotta-have-it parlay. Five-way gotta-have-it parlay. I see why Lee Sterling likes to name these things. It's fun. But it pays out just about 10-1. But I think the odds are better than 10-1 of it happening. Therefore, value. Therefore, give it a shot.
Bets I won and lost at the Masters this weekend. Siwoo Kim did not finish as the top South Korean. Bastard. Corey Connors did finish as the top Canadian. That's a win for yours truly. Xander Schauffele was a lock for the top 10, which is what I told you before the tournament began. And he had again finished in the top 10 because that's what he does. It was wonderful to see at plus 240. That was easy money. We're just stealing money from there. I had a loss. Heath Thigala sucked. Didn't do anything worth a damn. Not worth mentioning. I did win money thanks to Tommy Fleetwood, who is also a mortal lock in almost every major, to finish in the top 20. He did yet again. In fact, finished in the top 5. Extra pizza money for the campster here. I lost my ass on Thorbjørn Olesen, who fell to pieces. In his first Masters, didn't finish anywhere close to the top 20. That surprised me. However, I made it all back with Taylor Moore to finish in the top 20, and Taylor Moore did indeed finish in the top 20, and that is a win. Lost on Matthew Fitzpatrick, sprinkled pizza money on him to win. He blew up on Sunday with a 75. That sucked. Shane Lowry did not come through. It's hard to win outrights, but I did mention him as well. Shane won me some money in the make the cut market, but that was about that. So we did all right. We did okay. We came out ahead. I even won the weekend pool that I'm in with T. Lizzie. So that was good too.
Yeah, you had a good week. Had a good profitable weekend. I was okay. The biggest bet that paid out for me that mitigated losses, it was a slight red in the red weekend, was Oberg. Top 20. I laid it large. I felt like top 20.
Yeah.
It was 2.5 to 1. I'm like, man, 2.5 to 1. Let's go for it here. And Ludvig did just fine by me.
Well, and he's just a really, really consistently good player. So I think that that is something moving forward. You want guys whose games travel. You know, identifying, and one of the coolest things that, and this is where, and I've talked about this before, you don't have to gamble, don't have to like gambling, don't have to like gambling discussions. But there is something to be learned from odds as presented by Vegas, and also following that from week to week, because it'll teach you something about the actual thing you care about, which is maybe the game or the event or the player, right? You end up finding out about, hey, whose game travels? Who's consistent? Who across types of grass and regionality and all of that, who shows up every week? Who's there that I can count on that, hey, just because they're not playing on, you know, Poya this weekend, you know, he's got a chance to succeed or whatever it might be. And that's one of the things that's fun about this. My man, Irashfell, warchant.com. Busy week for all of us at Warchant. We're so excited. Monday Smash tonight, Ira will be talking and expounding upon what we should expect to see, I would imagine, for the spring game this weekend. That's going to be the topic for a lot of us, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Make sure you tune in tonight at 7 o'clock for that. Ira, how are you, brother?
I'm great, Jeff. How you doing?
I'm doing really well, man. Doing really well. Thanks for playing on Friday. That was a lot of fun. Hopefully, you were able to get the mud stain out of the shirt.
We made it, buddy. We survived.
All right, what are you most looking forward to the spring game? What should we, as we talk to people who will be coming into town this upcoming weekend, that are going to be coming to the various events and then going to the game itself, what do you think that you should draw their attention towards?
Well, I mean, I think everybody's going to have their eyes on DJ Uiagalelei. I mean, I think that that's going to be the number one focus for everybody to see what he looks like. People haven't seen him since in person, probably since he came to Doak a couple years ago, and he looked good on that day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, obviously had a pretty up and down career at Clemson, and when he was at Oregon State, he was probably out of mind. So this will be the first chance for fans to see him up close. So I think that's going to be the main focus for everybody, and I think they're going to be pleased. I think he's going to play well. He's played well in the last couple of weeks for sure. He's looked very comfortable and making some really impressive passes. I think from things that'll like leap out at people is I think the secondary. I think people will be pleasantly surprised. You know, you lose a couple of two or three guys who are going to go play in the NFL. You may expect that group to take a step back, but I don't think any of us expect that after seeing him this spring. I think that secondary group, particularly Azariah Thomas and Central Cypress, is playing really well, and Shaheem Brown and Earl Little, the transfer from Alabama. That group, I think, is, if I had to put money on it, I think I'd say that group is going to impress people. And, you know, I think the defensive line will impress people as much as they play. We'll see how much they play those guys because you obviously don't want to risk anything. And then, you know, I think the one thing I would tell people to look for, you know, if they really want to, if they're curious about something, because I think we're curious about it, is the wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still think we're looking for just more overall consistency and playmaking at that position. So those are the things I think most people should be looking for.
Wrote a piece you did for warchant.com on Marvin Jones Jr. I couldn't wait to read it and did. And I would invite others to do the same. That's a guy that obviously I've told people many times, Marvin is my favorite. His father is my favorite player in FSU history. And I was also really excited to see once he decided he was going to hit the transfer portal and come to Florida State, how quickly he could acclimate and how quickly he could help this team. What'd you find out in that piece? I've read it, of course, but obviously in doing so, you probably had to do some research. And certainly the quotes are there from him talking about how much fun that's been this spring and he's learning something new every day. Anything else to share about that?
Yeah, no, I mean, just in, from watching him, you know, practice, I've got a chance to, you know, even when they've gone in the indoor facility, I've got to watch some of the defensive line drills and watch the way he learns and watch the way he does drills. And, you know, it's just impressive. I mean, he's very impressive physically. He's also impressive, I think, if you watch his interviews. I mean, he's done a couple of them now since he's been in Tallahassee. I mean, he's a very smart kid. He really seems to kind of have a serious nature about him. He's different, though, you know, and I mentioned in the piece, he's very different than Jared Verse in terms of his personality.
Mm-hmm.
Jared Verse was, you know, larger-than-life personality, wanted to all the attention on him, was going to talk trash, was going to, you know, run around celebrating. I don't think that's going to be Marvin Jones. I think he's going to be much more just kind of about his business. But I don't think that's a bad thing. And I think he's, you know, his serious nature, I think, has helped him make a lot of improvement pretty quickly. And I think, man, I'm excited about him. I know some people were curious just because he didn't really blow up at Georgia. But I think this could be another case where somebody comes to Florida State and really plays much better than they did at their prior school.
Who's a guy that has surprised you the most that maybe you could also point to that doesn't get a lot of love, doesn't get talked about on the shows, doesn't get written about as much, but you've been very impressed by through spring so far, that maybe is emerging to a place and a level that he was not expected to?
I'm trying to think if there's anybody that jumps off. You know, I would say one is another guy we just wrote about the other day was Devontae Brown.
Yeah.
Safety.
Yeah, he's huge, by the way. I would just look at his proportions. That's a big dude.
Yeah, and he, you know, he played corner, and I don't think was, you know, he started, I think, 30 games at Central Florida. He basically started since midway through his freshman year at UCF, back, I think, when Randy Shannon was still the defensive coordinator there. Randy Shannon's really close to the family. Also, Patrick Surtain coached him in high school, so they've got really good connections there. So when they brought him in, I think they knew what they were getting. He had played only cornerback in college, and I think only cornerback in high school, but I think they had designs on seeing what he looked like as a safety. And because of that, because they're so deep at corner, and because they're, you know, so experienced in the secondary, I mean, I just didn't know if he would fit in. I was kind of curious about that take, but then – you know, you watch them practice, and I think he's got a chance to play at safety. I think that, you know, the safety spot opposite of Shaheen Brown is still pretty wide open. I mean, you know, I think a lot of us penciled in Conrad Hussey after as much as he played last year as a true freshman. And he may win the job, but I think Devontae Brown could play there. I think KJ Kirkland and some of these other guys could play there as well. So that I definitely think he's going to be in the mix. Whether he wins a starting job, I think he's going to play a lot. He's a guy that probably wasn't on a lot of people's radar.
So many new faces for people to get excited about coming into town to watch, and so many ways to kind of catch up with all of us on the War Chant staff as well. I know you'll be a part of the event with the Battle's End, and we'll be over there at Corner Pocket as well, same day. Lots of things happening all week long. You'll want to keep it to warchant.com and all the shows, whether it's Wake Up War Chant, Jeff Cameron Show, tonight's Monday Smash as well. Ira, always appreciate it, brother. Be good.
Thanks, Jeff. See you, man.
Yep, take care. That is Ira Shafel. You'll see him tonight, 7 o'clock, War Chant TV. Tom, are you co-hosting that, buddy?
Aslan is co-hosting
nice,
tonight.
Nice. All right. Aslan and Ira. There we go.
It's been, I think, now the last 3 weeks, three different hosts. I intend fully to be there next Monday, but Aslan is hosting tonight.
Nice and, rotation.
I think they'll be talking portal, too, tonight as well, because the portal's open. It's a strange time that we're in, because we've still got spring practice going, but this is just the market. This is what happens when you see a player that maybe could fit for Florida State. Obviously, for Florida State, there's going to be some position groups that we know are on the way out. We remember how hectic it was in December and January in the back half of that window. We didn't really see too much, and then we saw everything happen at once. It's going to be fascinating to see how Florida State shuffles their roster again, because the coaching staff will tell you what they think they need. We can speculate all day about what we believe that they need or what they should add. The staff will tell you what their evaluations of spring practice were, yeah, based upon who they're interested in, who visits campus.
Transfer portal conversation is interesting for a lot of reasons. I see folks in the Heisman Lake Law Firm chat talking about Rodney Hill, who was a guy that we were all so excited about for a long time there. Tom, I can't help but kind of feel bad. It came up. Somebody noted that he's once again in the portal. And so now it's what? Florida State, Florida A&M, Miami, couple other places he was linked towards to at some point. I want to get back to the root of all this, which is something that is unfortunate, and we see it in this day and age. There are a lot of things that are very good about name, image, likeness, a lot of things that are very good about the ability to transfer and players getting more power and having more and greater opportunities. But then there is the downside of guys who sometimes get, frankly, in my opinion, horrific advice. And sometimes that advice is from people who would purport to have their best interest in mind, some people who are acting as pseudo-agents. Other times it's their own family and the fights within the family that we've seen over the years. It could be an uncle or a brother or a friend or whatever giving them horrific advice. And by the time they realize this person who they thought they could trust and believed in and who they thought loved them and had only their best interest in mind, once they recognized that the whole thing had been bastardized, the damage had already been done. They were down the road and they had burnt bridges and there would be no coming back. And it's not a lack of talent. It's not a lack of ability. It is a self-sabotage. And when things like that happen, it makes me sad because it shouldn't happen. And I do think somewhere along the way, you want this to be a little bit more like, as we move more towards pro football, like that, where these kids have legitimate professionalism guiding their every move, right? Agents and the like, people who understand what's happening, making better decisions for them, or at least advising them as to the kind of decisions they should make, as opposed to, unfortunately, sometimes, like I said, overzealous family members or downright nefarious pseudo-agents or things of that ilk. And I think Rodney Hill kind of feels like a case study in that right now to me.
Yeah, it's just hard because, you know, the bridge is burned, but you wish there's a scenario by which you could welcome him back, even if it was like as a PWO. And then maybe you find a way to get some room and board taken care of, and then he can be the one to deliver the message in the locker room. Because you hear stories of programs across the Southeast and the country where, you know, a kid gets in the team group text and it's like a cancerous effect to the culture based upon what this kid is saying, that NIL opportunities are available here, there, and everywhere. And now players are checking each other's pockets and you have this negativity built. Florida State's done a pretty good job of avoiding that. But how powerful would it be to have a player like Rodney Hill available for the next year or two if you could find a situation in which he says, folks, slow your roll. You think the grass is always greener, but I'm here to tell you I've lived it. I was in position A, and now I'm having to work my way up through the roster. I know that can't possibly happen, and maybe he's extending those types of communications anyway. But he had the talent, man. He did. And it seems like he's going to have to be some sort of underdog story somewhere, and I don't know where that is.
A cautionary tale. And I do think it's important for players when they test the waters and they kind of think that there's something, as you noted, grass is always greener type scenario. If they do that without ever leaving, we've had some players say that they're entering the portal but then never left, right? We've had a few of those sets of circumstances where I'm sure they were wooed and lured by promises of fabulous wealth and other, obviously, amenities, only to kind of do their own due diligence and realize, well, that's not real. That's not a thing. That's not going to happen. Only half of what I was being told was going to happen is possible, or maybe a third of what I was being told. It's not what a lot of people think it is. It is for precious few. If you are an elite player at a position of great need, say quarterback, you can command all kinds of things. If you are an all-time great wide receiver, you might be able to command a lot of things from a lot of programs and a lot of people. If you're just another guy at a position, or even a plus player at a position that is not nearly as sought after, those promises of fabulous riches don't exist, man. They can be there, but it's not real. Nobody's, as this thing gets more regulated and more figured out by the collectives who have begun to understand what is possible and sustainable, more importantly, nobody's going out here paying $1 million for a running back, guys. It's a running back. Stop it. And, unless this is like the second coming of Walter Payton and you know it for sure, you're not doing it. You're just not doing it. So if it sounds too good to be true for a lot of these kids, it is. Jeff Cameron, Show 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
The Jeff Cameron Show, brought to you by Orange Theory Fitness. Two Tallahassee locations, Midtown on Thomasville Road and Northside in the Village Common Shopping Center. Online at orangetheoryfitness.com.
Great Jackie Robinson. We celebrate. It's Jackie Robinson Day, Major League Baseball. Very cool. It's cool to go back and do the research on Jackie, I might add, by the way, for those of you that maybe haven't. Go back and see what kind of generational athlete that dude was. Stud football player, could have played in the league, in addition to being a great baseball player. And go back and listen to that Hall of Fame speech, as humble a Hall of Fame speech as you'll ever hear. And, you know, I think back to my conversation with Jack McKeon, who was friends with Branch Rickey. Which is insane. I love when you meet super old people who are also still with it. And there I am sitting talking to a guy who was friends with Branch Rickey. And Branch Rickey, of course, is the one who opened the door for Jackie Robinson to enter Major League Baseball. We got probables coming up in a little bit here, and that means this will be the final segment for you folks in the Heisen Lincoln Law Firm chat. That's what that means.
As it always reminds me of the conversation we had at Corner Pocket Bar and Grill with Mr. Earl.
Mm.
Did he remember anybody from his youth that was as old as he was in that moment? You remember anybody, Earl, that was 80 or 90? Oh, sure.
Sure. Conversations about the Civil War.
He had an Aunt Jenny and an Aunt Jenny who had to batten down the hatches in Atlanta as Sherman made his way through
Georgia.
They had to hide the farm animals, like weird stories. But yeah, they had to hide the farm animals because they needed to eat when they came through. The reports were coming ahead of time, so it's I guess kind of like the reverse Paul Revere. But people coming, he's going to burn everything.
Yeah,
you got to hide stuff. You got to hide it. He is coming,
except for Savannah. But by the way, it's a fun thing. In all seriousness, go back and go just have some fun with it today. It's a day in which we honor Jackie Robinson, but it's a fun thing to do. When you go back and look at his numbers out in college, out in Pasadena, the things he was doing, he was an incredible player.
It's wild. My dad's first game he went to, I told the story many times, but I said, Dad, there's Baseball Reference. There's this thing now that can find the game. And so he described it was Dodgers versus Giants. It was 54, I think. It was 53 or 54. Said it was July, and the score was, I think, 3-1. I was like, okay, I can find this now.
Yeah.
And he about came to tears because I found the box score of the game. He goes, the fifth inning, that's when the home run was hit. Like, he remembered all of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at the box score, and I see Jackie Robinson. I said, Dad,
you saw Jackie Robinson. Yeah,
I should have put two in. It's Ebbets Field. It's Brooklyn Dodgers. I should have put it together. He's like, of course I did. What do you mean I saw Jackie Robinson?
Yeah.
Of course I did. Oh, my God.
Yeah, my dad tells stories. Sorry, Tom. Yeah, my dad tells these stories about Roberto Clemente and stuff, knowing that I'm a Pirates fan. And he was young in Sharon, Pennsylvania, and going into the city, into Pittsburgh, to see the Pirates play with his family. And then talking to me about these guys that, came and went, and including the great Roberto Clemente. And then, of course, Roberto died before I could ever see him. He's just the legend in the films of what he did. It's cool to think of like a version of your father who's younger than you are now at these games, going to these games and seeing these players and how excited they were in the same way that we would be now.
And the best part is, like, of course I did. Well, Dad, that's a big deal. He's like, Jackie was, he was in the middle of our lineup. Of course he was there. What are you talking? If he wasn't playing, we're in bad shape.
Speaking of bad shape, perhaps your hot tub is. And I would say to you, it doesn't have to be. Doesn't have to be that way. Pinch a Penny Pools and Spas has everything you need for pool maintenance, chemicals, cleaners, pumps, vacuums, nets, covers, you name it. They've got it. You knew that. But they also, in addition to having the largest selection of premium hot springs hot tubs in the entire city, and you can easily finance those, by the way, so comfort is no money down for you. If you've got an older hot tub and you've been putting off upgrading that because you don't want to deal with the hassle of having to get the old tub removed and you're not even sure how you're going to do that in order to haul it away, Pinch a Penny has a solution. They'll do it for you. That's the best kind of solution, right? Oh, here we have a solution. We'll do it. I like that solution. That's a good one. It doesn't involve me having to do a damn thing. It does involve them coming out, grabbing your old tub, taking that dilapidated thing away, and then giving you some money towards your new tub for it. How about that? Check them out today. You can have an amazing hot tub. It's not out of reach. See them today on Greer Road and find out for yourself how easy and affordable it really is. Pinch a Penny Pools and Spas. Probably the last morning, if you were going to get into your hot tub, we're approaching the last mornings where it's nippy when you first go out. And soon it's just going to be, you know, ready-made. You're good to go. It's always good to be in a hot tub. I'm just saying that some of the days when it's really cold out, you're like, ooh, we're about running out of those days.
Where I felt very fortunate for the weather last weekend, last Friday specifically. Because you know when you get in April, those 50-degree mornings, 55, 56, like you're down to your last handful. And we did get one of those. Because it's nice to start the golf day. It's 8 o'clock in the morning with a little breeze.
A little brisk,
and then you work into spring. And you work into a bona fide spring afternoon. And that's what it was. We're going to get that. If you want more of that, come on up here.
I told you I will.
Because the high for the next week is about 57. So you can still – those pinch-a-penny spas would be in full flight still for another 3-4 weeks probably.
All right. Those of you in the chat, peace out. Good to see you. Thanks for having been here. I will say this. If for some reason you, and it's a good reason because it's fun to do, want to hear Probables and watch and or listen, both perhaps, realtalk93.com/listen live. Go to the website, realtalk93.com/listen live, and you'll be able to do it. There it is. That's it. Be good, everybody. I'll see you later. Get those people out of here. Get them out. All right, now it's just radio, folk. We can really say what we mean now.
Now it's just you and me.
Yeah, let's talk for real. Power Mill Training Academy, thank you for once again sponsoring our Probables. Always appreciated. Power Mill Training Academy, equipping, motivating athletes, doing the right thing, focused on baseball and softball. Your kids, they don't want to go out there and struggle. Well, they'll need training that equips them, all ages, all skill sets, with a set of skills that allows them to excel and get the most out of their abilities. Whether it's a young softball player, baseball player, you name it. Maybe you want to throw them into camps this summer and you need to learn about it. They got that too. 27 alumni from Power Mill in the majors. 45 years of experience. 2,000 alumni overall. My goodness gracious, that's a good start. Cue it up, good sir.
It's time for, how you say, with the pitching, probables?
By the way, before we get to the names themselves, let's just take a gander. Buckos 11-5. Director Matthew, myself, showdown this past week in a 4-game set, splitting 2-2. Pirates thumped that ass yesterday, 9-2. But a split on the road in Philadelphia. That's a great ballpark. Good uniforms there in Philadelphia. I enjoyed the trip. A nice little, it's easy on the eyes to look at those cool Phillies uniforms, those old school ones, man, it's good look. Pirates Phillies is a good look on your TV. It just is. Battle of great uniforms. Now, I turn my attention to Tom's Mets. You going to be there tonight? Which Pirates Mets game are you going to?
That's the plan.
Tonight? And, really? Oh, awesome.
7 of 10. Winners of 7 or 10 are the Mets.
Hate to put the water on the fire. Twins, Orioles. Why don't we start there tonight, 6:30. Louis Varo and Cole Irvin. We got the Rangers and the Tigers. Michael Lorenzen, Reese Olson going for the Tigers. Rockies, Phillies. Cal Quantrill off to a rough start. Aaron Nola going for the Phillies. 2-1 with the 4-5-0. Giants, Marlins. Kyle Harrison. Marlins are going to throw Edward Cabrera. First start of the year for Edward. Angels, Rays, Patrick Sandoval, Zach Eflin. I don't know why it feels this way, and I'm probably wrong, but it seems like the Rays have played way too much of the Angels already this year. Yankees, Blue Jays, Luis Gill, Chris Bassett. Aforementioned game of the night. Tom will be there to watch my Pirates get the win on the road against the Mets. Martin Perez. 1-0 with a 1.89 so far for the Buccos. Been very good. A little left-handed pitcher. Adrian Hauser going for the Mets. Hopefully he struggles. Royals, White Sox, Seth Lugo, Nick Nastrini going for the White Sox. Hey! Padres, Brewers, Joe Musgrove, Joe Ross, Braves, Astros. Hell of a game right there. That will be a big-time MLB Network game. Dennis Vines and Spencer Arrieta going for the Astros. We got the Cubs and the D-backs. Ben Brown, Merrill Kelly, Cardinals, A's, Sonny Gray, Ross Stripling. Reds, Mariners, Frankie Montas, George Kirby. What a loaded lineup tonight. Goodness gracious. Nats, Dodgers, Michael Parker, Tyler Glasnow, who's been very good so far this year. And then finally, we had a final earlier today, Guardians and the Red Sox. And I don't know who won that game, but I can tell you that Xavion Curry started it for the Guardians, and Cutter Crawford, cheats at the club, was the pitcher for the Red Sox. So that's a look at those that shall reside on the bump. Tom, what can you tell me about Adrian Hauser?
He's a pitcher in this sense. No. He's not a thrower. He doesn't have a lot of stuff.
Another body.
He's got to find the different spots in the zone. Very quickly, I've got my two wagers. I know we got under a minute to go. This is the New York-New York parlay. Both New York teams could use a win tonight in hockey. Take the Islanders and the Rangers on the money line. It's plus 158. Nice chunk of change. And the got to have it is a five pick. There's two New York teams.
Fire it off.
Red Wings need a win. Penguins need a win. Capitals plus 1.5 pays 10-1. So there you go. Rangers, Islanders, Penguins, Wings, and Capitals plus 1.5.
Thank you, Tommy. Betting it right when we get off the air. Good work out of you. Go Buccos. Good work out of you, as always, Director. Peace, everybody. Be well. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.